You might like to turn in your Bible to Genesis chapter 1. Perhaps we could look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, we look to you to deal with us. We have assembled in your presence on your day for you to get to us, for us to get to you. Let God, the outworking of all that you do, all that you are doing, God will take place. So we'll want to be in tune with you, our God. We want to be in the same page with you. We want to move as you would have us, mentally and spiritually, counting on you. So God, deal with us. We'll thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. In Genesis chapter 1, you have a statement made: in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God created everything. That's a statement, an introductory statement that God makes and tells you that everything that is, God made it. And then he proceeds to tell you all about it in verse 2 thereafter. And thus, the earth, verse 2, was without form and void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And so here the world is without form and void, has no you can't identify it clearly about anything. Darkness was upon the face, darkness, the opposite of light, obscurity, absence of light, darkness. And darkness was upon, resting upon, over, above. Just think of a great ball like of water, depth, deep, that. And thus was upon the face of the waters. So darkness, as you look, if you could look, you would have seen darkness. And then you would have seen darkness covering the surface, the face of this massive abyss ocean of water. And thus, you'll see without form has to do with to be desolate, empty, primitive chaos. Water, the first material, there it is, the waters, the great ball, nothing is defined. It's very deep, but there's no contrasting, no difference. It's very dark. There's no way to describe, just dark, no differences, just dark. And very deep, very deep, deep, all coming together. And thus, God, that's what you did. In the very beginning, first material, there is no material. God puts material out in his wonderful person and presence. And the material is face on the face of the waters, the ball, such a mass. And upon the deep, the turbulent particles without any cohesion, no connection, a mass, a seeming chaotic mass, deep, depth. And darkness covers it all, surrounds it, enshrouds it, darkness. So what have we got? God, we've got nothing, angels, and that. Now, why did you do that, God? Why did you do that? Why do you do it that way? Why this way? Don't have to be this way. Why this way? God is making preparation for all that is coming. And God wants it very clear how it's going to go and what you need to understand. So now, having said that, he got dark, chaotic, non-elements, no cohesion, and darkness surrounds it. Thus, verse 3, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. There was no light, just this dark, deep, nothing to define it, just dark, empty, the absence of light. God put light out there, put light around that ball, darkness, and God put light, surrounded it with light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. Light, darkness, and God divided it. And thus, in verse 5, God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. So God, darkness, and then light, that was good. And now you divide them up. So there's lights over here, and darkness is over here. And you're going to call one, for us humans, one is going to be called day, the other is going to be called night. That's how it's going to go. Nothing yet. First day, God did that. Wow. So here we are looking, and angels are looking. Now, God, why are you doing it this way? Now, over if you would, please. In the light of that, over to Job again. May I just add a thought? Over to Job and chapter 38 again. And in Job 38, verse 1. And the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, "Who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge?" Darkness, ignorance, ignorance, no light, no light, no definition. Who is this that talks with no understanding, no clarity, ignorantly? "Gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee, and answer thou me." Job, where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. Well, Job said, "I didn't exist. I didn't exist." No humans exist. That's right. When God put that ball, element, mass, chaotic mass, put that out there and enshrouded it with darkness, God, were you there? Was anyone there? No, no, no humans. Verse 5, "Who hath laid the measures thereof, or if thou knowest?" No, I don't. "Who hath stretched the line upon it?" Who measured it out? No one, I didn't. "Wherefore art the, whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened?" How is it sit out there? Just sit like that ball, the world. Just sits there. God, remember Isaiah, God hung the world. When there's nothing, there's nothing. There's no planets, no stars. God put it in the middle of himself and hung it. Seems to be hanging. Hanging. Verse 5. "Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened, or who laid the cornerstone thereof? When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy." And the angels. And you go back to Job chapter 1, etc. The angels are there. The angels. No humans, no humans are there. Only angels, important, yes. Only angels saw this taking place. God, why did you do it? The only participants are angels. No one else is there. No one. Just angels and what you're doing, God. Why are you doing it? Well, the angels are involved. Over, if you would, please, to Isaiah chapter 14. Isaiah chapter 14. And you'll notice, please, picking up the thought that begins and has to do with the devil, Satan. And in verse 12, "How art thou fallen from heaven?" So it makes it clear we are talking about something heavenly. "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning?" Now Lucifer, a noun, masculine noun, to be clear, bright, shining, splendor, brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. morning star, brilliant light. Lucifer, light, brilliant, brilliant light. Light, not darkness, light. And again, another term, Lucifer, son of the morning. The word morning, shining, shining, shining. The breaking forth of the daylight, daylight, dawn, coming forth, the breaking from the night into the daytime. Oh, Lucifer, brilliant, brilliant, brilliant light. Son of the dawn, son of the shining one, the shining light, light. Because after all, that was his assignment before God, as the anointed cherub that covereth, was to reflect God. God is light. And that's just what he did until he fell. And then there was darkness. The light was gone. The light was gone. When Adam and Eve sinned, the light was gone. The light was gone. They had to cover themselves. The light was gone. And here we are looking, if you could. And the devil has fallen. And thus, no more. No more is he reflecting. No more is he in all of his beautiful material, from using our language, heavenly material, to reflect God in a wonderful way. He was designed to do so. To reflect him. Now, the devil. Now, go over with me. I'm going to have to go back and forth just to get it so you see it. God, why did you do it? Only the angels see. I want you to know, angels, good and bad, the bad guys are there. I'm going to put it out. I'm going to help you understand what's going to happen with this ball, this mass, not cohesive, bound together in a depth that seems bottomless, enshrouded in darkness. Revelation chapter 16, going all the way to the other end. Revelation chapter 16. Revelation 16 and in verse 10. Speaking of the angelic world from an evil standpoint. And the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast, Antichrist. And his kingdom, the Antichrist kingdom, was full of darkness. Darkness. Why did you do this, God? I want to tell you what's going to happen. Going to be a problem between light and darkness. Light and darkness are going to sum up the ball game for you. Truth and error, right and wrong. That's what it's going to be all about. Allowing me to be light, and the rejecting of me, darkness. It's all about that. Now, thus, his kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues for pain. Pain. Now, back over, if you would please, to Isaiah. Isaiah 45. And remember, as we're looking at the Gospel of John, chapter 1, 1, 2, 3, 4. And looking, God, the Word became flesh. He's the life. He's the light. And we're filling in things now to help you understand that. How does that all come together? Over. Isaiah. All right, thank you. I forgot where it was. Isaiah. Isaiah, if you would. Chapter 45. And to pick up a little bit so you see it. Over in verse 7. I form, God makes it clear now, I form light. I did. And I create. I created darkness. The absence of light. obscurity. I did that. I make peace, and I create the opposite, evil, evil. There's wholeness and health, and there's sickness and trouble. There's light and darkness, opposites. Love and hate, war and peace, opposites. Now, I create them. I, the Lord, do, verse 7, all these things. God, you made it. You betcha. You betcha. You betcha. Now, over to verse 3, concerning Cyrus, remember. And in verse 3, and I will give thee to Cyrus the treasures of darkness. Darkness? What do you mean? Well, I'm going to let the Median Persians come in, and they're going to reach down into the treasures of the Babylonians, the Chaldeans, and they're going to help themselves out of that pit of darkness to possess all the treasures of the Babylonians. But the spoils of the Babylonians, I'm going to reach into the treasure chest of darkness and pull out that which they have done, committed, created, gold, silver, and all their garments, all of it. I'm going to allow them to reap that which darkness has created. Now, I will give thee the treasures of darkness, the hidden riches of secret places, that thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which calleth thee by name, am the God of Israel. I call thee by name. I set thee apart. God, you are in Genesis 1. You set that ball, that as it were, of waters, chaotic mass, and you enshrouded in darkness. God said, I did it all. So I have a message. I have a purpose, a rhyme, a reason. To show my power, to show my understanding. I'm telling you before anything is, I'm going to tell you about it, and I'm going to tell you how it's going to go. So, God, you told it to show us your power, your grace, your purpose, your mercy. Uh-huh. I want you to see all that. I want you to understand that. Over to 1 John 1:5. 1 John. 1 John chapter 1. In 1 John chapter 1, may I go directly to verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is what? No darkness. No darkness. No, not in God. He's light. But he created darkness to bring out the problem. That is, sin is going to create a problem. Adam, Lucifer, son of the morning, brilliant light, fell into darkness. He lost his unique relationship to God. And instead of reflecting God as light, he reflects darkness, the absence of God. Darkness. God is light. And in him is no darkness at all. No darkness. Light, 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 light. Light points to right. Evil, dark, evil, wickedness, works, evil ways, evil words. The absence of light. A movement without God. Without God. Without God. And thus you're contrasting light. You're contrasting light. Healing, health, life. Healing, health, life, knowledge. And the Gentile world. Light and darkness, they use the terms. Go back in history. Read histories. Light and darkness, the conflict. Uh-huh. Now, and in the evil end of it, the opposite of health is sickness. The opposite of wealth, poverty. Punishment, suffering. Ignorance instead of knowledge. Thus, Ephesians 4, God, the human mind. Here's an easy thing to see. Ephesians 4, and in verse 18, having the people, unsaved people, that are going to be, Adam and Eve and everyone thereafter, all the humans, are going to have light. They're in darkness. Darkness, death, death. Thus, verse 18, having the understanding darkened, their thought process has no light. Being, why not? Because they're alienated from the life of God. And then the life of God produces the light of God. The life of God makes for the light of God. Get rid of the life, there is no light. As you'll see. Thus, verse 18, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. So we get blindness and ignorance and alienated. Their understanding darkened, dark, 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 to be missing out on God, who is light, and him is no darkness at all. On your way back to the Old Testament, stop with me, please, in John chapter 3. John chapter 3. And you are familiar. All we're trying to do is get you to know why. How does this go together? So you aren't just vague in your terms. You know why things are. You know why it is. You know how it works. So you are biblically, spiritually intelligent before God. And you can walk with God and have some understanding. Thus, John 3. John 3, please. And in verse 18, you know, he that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not, doesn't believe, is condemned already. Why is that? Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And what is this condemnation, this judgment? That light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than what? Light. That's the problem. And God, you are already way ahead of the game with night and day. You could have made it all the time night. No, night and day. I did it so you would be educated of the problem. Thus, in verse 19, this is the condemnation. Light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light. Why is that? Because their deeds are evil. Evil, evil. They don't want to know. They don't want to know. And thus, dear friend, over now to Isaiah. Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 5. Why darkness? Men love darkness. And how do they handle it? How do you handle light? How do you handle right, R-I-G-H-T? How are you going to handle that? There's right and wrong. Well, what are we going to do with right and wrong? Right is right and wrong is wrong. Light is light and dark is dark. What, can't we just sort of make a gray, make a thing come together so that we don't have to be right and we don't have to be wrong? We can just sort of ride it out. No. Chapter 5, Isaiah, in verse 20. Of all the woes, you know this one. Verse 20, chapter 5, Isaiah. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. So we're going to call light darkness. We're going to call light darkness. So all the information, all the reality that God you are, there's no way to get rid of you. All of creation bears witness to who you are. That's light. We're going to call that darkness. So all the evidence, all the clarity, clarification that God is God, and you're wonderfully, fearfully, and wonderfully made, as you read. Wow. We're going to call it darkness. So we can escape the whole business. And we're going to call darkness absence, evolution. We got to call it light. So we can escape, you say. Ah. Now, over you would, Isaiah chapter 8. Isaiah chapter 8. and picking up in thought. Remember the Israelites. The Israelites, dear friend, they are in trouble. And thus, picking up, if I may go directly, they're getting tied up and looking, they're caught up in what they're doing, and they're calling dark light and light dark, so we can escape the whole thing. We call good evil, and we call evil good, so that evil good and good evil. Now, verse 18. 8 and 18. Behold, I and the children whom the Lord hath given me offer signs and wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts, which dwelleth in Mount Zion. Here's Isaiah and the testimony to the Israelite nation. And when they say unto you, they're going to speak, that they listen, God is God, and he's right and light and good, and you're calling darkness light and light darkness. And when they say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits, mediums, etc., and unto wizards, that you want to know. It's all about knowing the future, understanding things, and that peep, mutter, whisper and mutter. Should not a people seek unto their God for the living to the dead? You're trying to go through the astrology and magicians and mediums and all kinds of gobbledygook things to understand the future, to understand life and death, right and wrong, light and darkness. You're trying to do it that way. Verse 20. To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. They're in the dark. Why would they ever talk like this? Why do they do these things? They're in the dark. That's why. Why do people do them? They have no light. There's no light in them. Over, if you would, chapter. Well, I might as well finish it. Verse 21. And they shall pass through it, hardly bestead, and hungry. And it shall come to pass that when they shall be hungry, they shall fret themselves and curse their king and their God and look upward. They're going to look up to the system. They're trusting their system. They're trusting their religious beliefs. They're trusting their way they think. Someone, something, help us. But you're not looking to God. No. Verse 22. And they shall look under the earth. Since it doesn't work looking up, then look down. And they shall look down under the earth, and behold, trouble and darkness. No light. No, we're trying to look up, it's dark. We're going to go down. We're going to work with our government. We're going to work with our system. We're going to work with our education. We're going to work with our human system of doing everything. And we're going to work with it, politic and otherwise. And behold, verse 22, trouble and darkness, dimness of anguish, and they shall be driven to darkness. Darkness. You would think you'd want to get light. They go from dark to darker. From rejection to greater rejection. They rejected him. They went greater. They crucified him. That's how far. Instead of getting clearer, you get more confused. You're going into darkness. That's right. Now, or if you would, in Isaiah 50. And in the process, God, you encourage them. There's a Savior coming, a wonderful Savior, the Messiah, the Christ, and you're going to have to trust him and look to him even now, waiting for his coming. And in chapter 50, verse 10, who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light. That's darkness, means the absence of light. What is a person going to do? Isaiah, here we are, we're going from the Assyrian captivity into the Babylonian captivity. Why won't the nation wake up? Why won't we get to God? No, we aren't going to get to God. Verse 10. Middle of the verse. And walketh in darkness and hath no light. Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. Look to God. Look to God. Trust in God. Trust in God with all your heart. Don't look elsewhere. It won't work. It won't work. It won't come out right. You've got to look to God, to God. It'll get very dark. How dark? Oh, it'll get awful dark. You mean it could get very dark? Uh-huh. Go with me, please, over to Ezekiel. Ezekiel and chapter 8. Ezekiel and chapter 8. Picking up, please, in thought. Remember now, Ezekiel's in Babylon. The Nebuchadnezzar is in the process, coming and going, of eliminating Jerusalem and the temple. But Ezekiel went off with Daniel over there. He's in Babylon, and Nebuchadnezzar dealing with Jerusalem. Now, God helps Ezekiel. He's over here in Babylon, and God helps him to be able to put himself, God puts him, as it were, into the setting in Jerusalem. What is it like in Jerusalem? You're over here in Babylon. What is it like in Jerusalem? How are they doing? What can I do to encourage them? Chapter 8. And picking up, please, looking at here's the inner court temple, and here's the north part of it, north going that way, north part, and here's the gate, north part, and in the gate is an idol. They put an idol there. So when you look at the gate, there's an idol, an idolatrous, blasphemous idol. Now, so, here I can, verse 4. And behold, the glory of the God of Israel was there according to the vision that I saw in the plain. Then said he unto me, Son of man, lift up thine eyes now the way toward the north. So I lifted up mine eyes the way toward the north, and behold, northward at the gate of the altar, this image of jealousy in the entry. Jealousy. What do you know about God? God said, listen, Exodus 20, the commandments. Thou shalt have no other God before me. I am a jealous God. A jealous God. No other gods. Now, so, verse 6. He said, furthermore, unto me, Son of man, seest thou what they do? What are they doing? Even the great abominations that the house of Israel committeth there, here, that I should go far off from my sanctuary, I've got to leave it, but turn thee yet again, and thou shalt see greater abominations. I want you to look, Ezekiel. I want you to record it. I want you to write it down. What's happening? How dark can it get? It's going to get dark. That's why God created darkness and night and day. Now, thus, verse 7, and he brought me to the door of the court, and when I looked, behold, the hole in the wall. And you've ever looked, seen people look through the hole in the wall to see what's on the other side? Little hole, and you look through the hole, you know, to see, trying to see what's on the other side there. The only way you can see is the hole. Look through the hole. Then said he unto me, Son of man, dig now in the wall. Do you see what's on the other side? Yeah. Now I want you to dig the wall out. And when I had digged in the wall, behold the door. He said unto me, go in. And behold, go through the door, and behold the wicked abominations that they do here. What are they doing in the temple? So I went in and saw, and behold, every form of creeping thing, abominable beast, and all the idols of the house of Israel, portrayed upon the wall around about, that it is animals, worship of all kinds of things written all over the wall. You've seen places sometime where they show you settings where everything is written on the wall. One kind of image, all kinds of idolatrous symbols and pictures on the wall in the temple. And there stood, verse 11, before them, 70 men of the ancients, the ancient old, of the house of Israel. And in the midst of them stood Ananiah, the son of Shaphan, which with every man his censer worship in his hand, and a thick cloud of incense went up. Then said he unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen what the ancients, the old men of the house of Israel do in the dark? They don't do that in the light. No one does that in the light. You need darkness. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. They don't want light. Light ruins everything. Yeah. Verse 12, middle of the verse. Ancients of the house of Israel doing in the dark, every man in the chamber of his imagery. For they say, the Lord seeth us not. God doesn't see in the dark. But God does see in the dark. There is no darkness to God. God is light now. And God doesn't see us. That's why we love darkness. We call darkness light and light darkness, so that we can get along in life. Otherwise, we're having to be God conscious and answer to God, and we don't want to have to do that. So religion gives us an out and to be able to avoid rightness. If we're religious enough, we don't have to be right. You see? And the Lord forsaketh the earth. God is gone on vacation. God doesn't care. God doesn't know nothing. Nothing. Now, over to Jeremiah. Jeremiah and chapter 13. Jeremiah is in Jerusalem. Ezekiel is out of Jerusalem. Jeremiah chapter 13. And if I can, in verse 13. Then shalt thou say unto them, thus saith the Lord, 13:13. Behold, I fill all the inhabitants of the land, even the kings that sit upon the throne, David's throne, and the priests, the prophets, and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem with drunkenness that they have left out. They have no soberness about them. And I will dash them one against the other, even the fathers and the sons together, saith the Lord. And I will not pity, nor spare, nor have mercy, but destroy them. Hear ye, and give ear. Be not proud, for the Lord hath spoken. Give glory, verse 16, to the Lord your God. Before he cause what? Darkness. And I'll take away the light you have. And you'd be surprised what people can do in the dark. How crazy, how absurd. They can do anything in the dark. They love darkness. So we can get away with it. Thus, give glory unto the Lord your God and cause that he caused dark, before he caused darkness and before you feel, before your feet stumble upon the dark mountains. And while you look for light, he turn it into the shadow of death and make it a gross, dark, deep, heavy darkness. Gross darkness. Could God do that? God does it. Why? Because we reject light. We don't want any light. We want to be able to think my personality, how I do it. But you got to put it in the light. No, I'd rather not put it in the light because then I have to deal with it. So I would never call darkness light and light darkness. Or do we, more than we realize, call darkness light and light darkness in order to escape. Thus, if you would. over in Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. God set the thing in motion on the day when he threw out in the middle of space, middle of God, there is no space. So our word, space, distance, our word. God, you put it out there because you knew what was going to happen and you wanted it to be understood for the angels because the one fallen was full of light and he abandoned the light. Removed God from his heart by his unbelief. And he's left in darkness. I have created the world and humans in it to demonstrate the fall of the devil. And what happens when you abandon God? You end up in darkness. Darkness. Thus, Proverbs chapter 4. Picking up, please, in verse 18. But the path of the just, the righteous, is as a shining light. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for what? His name's sake. I'm going to go in the right way. It isn't wrong. It's light. God, lead me. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day, the full noontime. That's right, going down the corridor to brighter and brighter and better and better. Verse 19. The way, in contrast, the way of the wicked is as darkness, and they know not at what they stumble. They don't understand what's happening in our world, using our language today. They don't understand what's happening. And they have all kinds of means and ways and analysis, but they don't understand. It's the prince of the power of the air. Darkness. Darkness. Now, keeping in mind, if you would, please, that God is light, and in him is no what? Darkness. Now, we'll get another piece that will help you. Over with me, please, to Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21. God, remember, this is all about now, because it's going to end when he comes, a new heaven and a new earth. Chapter 21, if I can, Revelation 21, in the future, God, this whole business of night and day, darkness is now. The whole battlefield is now. Chapter 21, verse 23. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it. For the glory, that will really help. It doesn't do any good for your energy problems. But then, there'll be no need of energy. Oil, you don't have to worry about your oil bill, gas bill, light bill. Why? Because, verse 23, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. Verse 25. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be, what? No night. No more nights. No more darkness. No more nights. Chapter 22. And going, if I can, to verse 5. And there shall be no night there. They need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. No more dark, no more night, all light. Why did you do it? The night will come. The sun rises and the sun sets and night comes. Darkness. You're trying to tell us, the world, it's a battle. Night, when the light comes up, the darkness goes. When the darkness rises, the light's gone. Battle, 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 battle. Back back and forth 24 hours a day. You live in that world of battle, of light and darkness. Wow. Thus, in closing, if you would, Ephesians chapter 5. Remember now, God is light. God is light. He created light. God is never darkness. Do you understand? He's never darkness. Never. He is light. God will say, children of light. But you will never read children of darkness. You don't read that. Don't read that. Now, Ephesians. And chapter 5 in closing, you know, I hope you got a little bit. It's a neat thing. I hope you get love this stuff. To understand. Don't you want to understand? What's going on? To be able to read it. To read it with understanding. To put it together in your heart. To live it. Wow. No. Ephesians 5. Picking up, please. In verse 8. For you were sometimes, what? Darkness. When you received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you received the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. When you received the life of our Lord Jesus Christ, which we looked at, you were given light. Life makes possible light. Without life, there can be no light. So when I received the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, He's the light of the world. He's the light of my life. Wow. Now, so, verse 8, you were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Walk, live, behave yourself in the light, in the light. God, I want to be in the light. I want to be in the right. What do you mean in the right? I want to be on your page, like we did in Sunday school. God said, I'm not for Israel and I'm not for the world. I'm for God, the pre-incarnate Christ said. I'm for God. I'm for God, the Creator, and His wonderful purpose for creating it all. And the meaning and the value and the wonderment. Angels, take note. Wow. Humans, learn. Understand. Wow. Wow. I think it's neat. I do. I think it's a wonderful thing. That's right. Don't you? Wow. I want you to be more wondered about it than I am. So I try to do my half a cent's worth so you can be more excited about being a believer than I am. My little excitement is nothing. But your excitement is something, you see. Back then, years ago, what did I say? Years ago. 100 years ago, it seems like. Sometime. What did I say? Our whole assignment is to run and make it so that everyone that would get ahead of me. And I would see you running the race ahead of me. And that would be my pleasure, to see you in front of me running the race. That's my pleasure. Huh? That's what I want. Isn't it? I never lost that, you know. It's discouraging because I don't have too many thousands in front of me. You see. Our Father and God, we look to you to deal with our head and heart. God, help us, please. We know so little. God, there's such wonderful things to understand. God, teach us well, teach us right. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you for it, God. God, we just want to be able to rest, nestle in your wonderful person, God, to allow you to love us, to be our God, to take care of our little head and heart and home and health and wealth. God, take care of us for your name's sake, and may we be one thoughtful, thankful people. Thank you very much. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray, amen. Perhaps we could sing, please, a stanza, two stanzas perhaps, of 5-4-3.